I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Just how old are we? I mean, we're still fighting over the front seat, calling shotgun. Adults still call shotgun at an older age. I do it. I know sometimes when I've got a guy's night out with my buddies, we're calling shotgun.
Really?
Do the girls do that?
Yeah, my sister and I will still fight getting
okay,
the shotgun.
That's good, yeah. And they say a lot of siblings do that as well. Yeah, yeah. It just makes me feel more normal.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of siblings obviously do that when they're riding to school or wherever they're going. They're calling shotgun, and that's where some of the fights break out.
But I like riding in the back seat.
Do you?
And if you have a third seat, I'd sit in the far back seat.
You're not normal.
I know. I'm not.
Do you not get motion sickness?
No. Oh,
if you're going to get it, it's in the back seat.
Yeah, I can't. You're God's favorite, because if I get in the back seat,
I'm going to church this week.
Well, fights over shotgun are actually common, even with the adults. But siblings are the main rivals. Those are the ones fighting over who's riding shotgun.
Why is there a fight? Isn't it pretty clear cut? That's what calling shotgun does. This eliminates any discussion.
I've got the rules of that coming up.
Yeah, because were you looking at the car when you called it? Because otherwise it doesn't count.
Well, and 30% have fought with their own children about riding shotgun. So I guess the mama or daddy's riding in the back sometimes because someone calls shotgun. That's some really interesting family rules there.
Yeah.
And it's been a while, but the last time I rode in the back, it's not as comfortable because those seats are not made as well.
Depends on the car.
It's like those bench seats back there. It's like you're sitting in a pew at church. But passengers have even refused to ride in the car due to the tension caused by calling shotgun.
Oh, my gosh.
I ain't going to ride with you.
Well, if you get in the back, you just pester the person who got shotgun. Until they don't want it on the way back.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are the advantages of riding shotgun and why we call shotgun. Comfort, obviously. The front seat typically offers more leg room. And you have the adjustable settings and seats, too. And maybe even a seat warmer, if you know what I'm talking about. And it allows a more comfortable journey, especially on the longer trip. So if you call shotgun at the right time and you're going on a long trip, that's good news for you. Visibility, also. A clearer, more panoramic view of the road and surroundings can be enjoyed from the front seat, and you don't have that from the back seat. So, Cato, you just don't like to look out the window. You say, I got that one side, because if I'm sitting in the back, I'm always leaning my head out in the middle just to see kind of where things are going.
Well, normally people scare me when they drive, so I'd rather be in the back seat, not being able to see everything.
Oh, okay. That does make sense. All right, minimizes motion sickness, so we do get sick in the back seat more often than the front seat, and temperature control as well.
I'm sorry. The people that say, "Oh, I get sick when I sit in the back seat," you don't. No, you don't.
Okay,
no, you don't. Like a freaking fail was on his list.
You sit in the back with me, and when you get painted because I do get sick,
why?
I don't know. Ask my brain.
In the front seat and the back seat.
You know what? I felt the same way, Kato.
I think it's like these glucose or.
But here's the thing. You know what?
People that make up diseases.
You and I don't get sick, but there are a lot of people that can't handle that.
Lactose.
Yeah.
I don't ride in the back seat, so I don't know, but I do know it's a real thing.
Very real. I bought those hideous goggles just to help. Okay. You think I wear them because they're cute? No.
I think you do.
That's a
fashion statement.
You do have to wear those special goggles if you are in the back seat, because now you got your baby, you'd probably be riding in the back seat.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, Michael. Here we go, buddy.
Hey, you both will be spitting up now. All right, temperature control. Obviously, the temperature's better in the front seat. They also say it gives you a sense of control. Being in the front can give a passenger a sense of involvement in decisions about the route and stops and overall trip, and you can see kind of what's ahead of you. So when they're braking, you know why they're braking.
Which is sad when I still tell you, that was the turn that we just passed. That was my bad.
And easier communication, another reason why you can talk with the person driving. And they also, this was kind of interesting, but they need to put on their makeup. So they are wanting to ride in the front seat.
But you know what? Because the little visor mirror has a light.
Right.
And it's perfect. It's like a vanity light.
And you can see why daughters probably want to ride shotgun, especially if they're going to school or something.
Yeah.
Putting on their makeup.
Well, my sister used to drive me, and she would slam on the brakes intentionally while I was doing my mascara. So.
All right. So shotgun rules, they say that first come, first serve. Most cases, if you call shotgun, you do have to be looking at the vehicle. It can't be, you can't like be at the dinner table and then mm-hmm. call shotgun from the dinner table. It's got to be, you know, eyes on the car.
Really?
Yeah, or you get arrested. And then it's driver's discretion. Ultimately, if there is a close call for riding shotgun, it's the driver's decision who gets to sit in the front seat.
That's going to be tough for siblings because then you're going to know which one's the favorite.
Okay. All right. So, and that's basically all we have there. Unless, you know, they start to fight and they are, you know, you've seen your buddies or have you had that moment where your kids are like, actually, in the front seat, both of them trying to put their leg in at the same time.
Why is it we fight for the front seat of a car, but when we get on a school bus, we go to the back?
I don't know.
We don't call shotgun on a school bus.
No, you don't want to be on
the... Yeah, you don't want to be beside the driver.
You're also far more likely to die in the shotgun seat than any other seat in the car. It's the most dangerous seat in the car.
That's why I'm on the third row seat.
You're safer.
Yeah, I don't like riding in the middle in the back, you know, when you got like... If you're in the middle...
Because the final destination, that long truck.
Duck!
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
What's your personality type? Because it could determine how long you're going to live. They say there's two different types of people, monochronic and polychronic people. And that sounds complicated, but it's actually very simple. Monochronic people tend to live by the clock, especially during work hours, and they prioritize obligations or schedules over relationships. So they're the ones at work that when you come up and you interrupt them and you're like, hey, man, did you hear about Bob down in sales? And they're like, I'm working on this. I got to get this done by 5. Leave me alone.
So they're jerks.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. But from the boss's point of view, they're getting their work done.
Yeah. You know, they're just, the other people are distracting them.
I don't think I've ever met someone like that.
Okay. Well, polychronic people are the ones who give priority to experiences and relationships, and they don't always worry so much about deadlines. And also, the polychronic people tend to be more able to multitask or put one thing down and do another thing, whereas the monochronic people like to start something and finish it before they move on to something else.
I like to start something and go to another room and start something else and then go to another room and then forget what I started to begin with.
That's called ADD. Welcome to the club.
Well, they say this goes along, and there are it goes along with like type A and type B people, but it goes along with them as well by having downsides to each type of personality. Monochronic people can be rigid and miss out on peace and happiness because they're constantly worried about the deadline. Polychronic people can be easily distracted and have difficulty finishing what they start. So there is a solution to this. They say that you don't have to be one or the other, that you can pick and choose to be one during certain situations. Maybe at work, you're more monochronic. And then whenever you're with your family and friends, you can be more polychronic and relax and try to ease up. But it's hard to change your basic personality traits.
Yeah.
Now, here's where it really gets wild. You would think that life would be more rich and fulfilling if you were less rigid and polychronic. But they found that monochronic people who are more uptight, live longer. Huh. They studied thousands and thousands of people over decades. And they found that here's the reason why. The people who are uptight about things live longer because they were more likely to get stuff checked out whenever they had a medical problem. Oh. Whereas the laid back people were like, just, you know, don't worry about that. It's not that important to me.
Uh-huh.
So they ended up dying earlier from things that could have possibly been treated, but they didn't have the uptightness to get it checked out.
Well, also the poly people sound like the type that would go to take their medicine, but they get distracted by something. And so then they're on like day 5 of forgetting to take their medicine.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. Or at least they don't complete it, get it every day. They're like, I didn't get that yesterday, but it's okay. And then the next day, maybe they do. But so apparently being uptight is actually going to make you live longer, even though you might not enjoy it as much.
You'd be by yourself, but enjoy it.
Well, but you feel like that your heart rate's all, you know, it's making your heart work more because you're uptight about things and all.
So yeah, but they did panicking. The study and honestly, they live a lot longer.
I know, but you'd think right the opposite.
I know. That's why. I mean, when my wife and I were talking about this, because I saw this article, I was reading it to her, telling her why it's okay for me to be uptight. I was like, you know, you would expect it to be the opposite. You would expect it to be, all right, uptight people are going to die from stress. But it's the opposite. The loosey-goosey people are the ones who overlook serious things.
But, I mean, I guess it depends on whether you're uptight and healthy and are uptight and have all these underlying conditions, Tom.
Well, I think even someone who's healthy could end up with a skin cancer that they don't check up on, and they're healthy otherwise, but they don't have that thing. Or maybe they don't go get their colonoscopy when they're supposed to or something. So, you know, they're like, that's just, I'll get to that in a couple more years or something. So it does make a difference. The good news is you can change it, but it's hard because it is one of your personality traits, so you got to make an effort to change it.
It's like you'll hear those infomercials, are you monochronic? Or polychronic, we can help you. Here's the side effects.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I don't think you'll ever guess the answer to this, but 36% of women said they would get their hair done for this specific occasion. And it surprised me so much, I won't save it till the end of the conversation.
If it's anything like what my wife does with our house cleaning people, is that she cleans the house before they come over. So do they get their hair done before they get their hair done?
No, but that's an interesting guess there.
I mean, I would think everything.
So women get their hair done for a wide range of occasions. And I'll run through some of the ones that we already know. Weddings, obviously.
Someone texted in and said their divorce hearing.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Look at that.
Show him what he's losing.
Yeah.
All right. Weddings, both brides and guests often get their hair done before the special occasion. Proms also was mentioned, like high school students, they're getting their hair done, even for probably back to school, as I know that my kids had to get their hair cut for back to school.
Yeah.
Make sure you get it all looking all good for the new year. Milestone birthdays is why women will get their hair done. Like 18, 25, 30, 40, the milestone birthdays. Guess because you're going to have a big party.
You know, honestly, just any day, a sad day, a happy day, it doesn't matter. Go get your hair done.
That's what I said, everything they get the hair done
Does it make you feel good once you get your hair did?
Depends on how it looks. Sometimes I've gotten it done and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, what have I done?
You know, though, some of the hairdressers aren't like consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just that, but sometimes you make a change that you regret.
That's another reason why, too.
Well, like if you have dark hair and you want to be blonde, some of them will be like, sure, but then they turn you orange. I'm like, this is not what I requested.
All right. They say charity balls, galas, anything, upscale events, you'll get your hair done for that. And just date nights, you're going to go out on a new date with someone, so you'll get your hair done.
You got to get them dead ends trimmed off.
All right. Holidays and during the Christmas season. So, and maybe even a New Year's party, or you're going to go see the relatives. You're not seeing them all year. You know, you only see them a couple times a year. So it's like, I don't get my hair done.
Last time they saw me, my hair was not gray, so let me get that fixed real quick.
You'd be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And then job interviews.
Yeah. I mean, again, really anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this one's the one that surprised me. I'm sorry. My voice is cracking for some reason.
I know what it is.
I know what it isn't.
What?
Puberty.
Oh, his
it's
voice.
It's not puberty.
Oh,
what do you think it is?
I was thinking the hair thing. They get their hair done for their funeral.
Oh, I thought you were guessing his throat. What was wrong with them?
You know, that you didn't your mom do some?
Yes,
for some dead person.
Yes, I'm still having trauma.
Your
from
mom
that.
Was a hairdresser.
I sat in there and watched it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was somebody related to my mom, and she was just covered in a sheet except for her hair.
Oh, wow.
Her top of her head, okay. And I just sat there and watched my mom do her hair.
So much.
The top floor of Thomas McAfee downtown.
I bet your mom was so glad she didn't have to be like, turn your head.
Yeah. Sit still. She didn't complain afterwards either.
No, she loved her hair.
So I got these dead ends I need to cut.
That ain't all.
So 36% of women said they would get their hair done for this specific occasion. Do you want to take a stab at it?
No.
Your driver's license. You got your driver's license coming up. You get to schedule a hair appointment for your driver's license.
Because they don't give you a second chance. They don't let you come around that camera and be like, oh, gosh, I don't look good in that. Let me redo it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna renew my license online because I like the picture. I don't want another picture. So I'm going to renew my, and I know it doesn't last as long, but I don't care. I like the picture, and I'm not going to risk.
when I turn 50, they're going to be like, you look 18 in this picture.
Some women will even go to the extreme of having a makeup artist come in and do their makeup before a driver's license picture.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Really? Start doing that. Yes.
Who even sees your driver's license except a cop?
And Total Wine employees.
Yeah. But do you even care what they think, all the clerks out there?
What's so crazy is you show them the picture on the ID, but they're seeing you right there in front of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm having a bad hair day. Don't judge me.
Well, I mean, it's pretty bad if they're looking going, are you sure that's you? I know you're here at Walmart in your pajamas right now. But
they hold it up and they're like, uh-uh. Girl.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Play a little game to see if you guys can recognize this sound or not.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, if you're under 12, you probably can't.
You're under 20.
Followed by someone picking up the phone in the house somewhere and you going, Ashley, get off the phone, because yes. It messed up the connection.
So that is how you used to have to connect to the internet. You would literally dial up, and especially AOL was one where you did that. But almost any connection to the internet, it involved you dialing up to some server somewhere that connected you with those strange noises.
Could you imagine Fortnite gaming with that?
Well, like, yes, I can.
It's like you wouldn't even be able to move a man.
That's not entirely true. Yeah. Some of the faster dial-up will at least do computer gaming, but not well.
And for those who don't know, you don't dial up with your cell because you didn't have cell. You dialed up with your home phone.
That's true. You got a point.
Yes.
Do people even have a home line anymore to do that?
I do not.
But your computer will be connected to your home phone line, and it would call and dial up. Now, we say this past tense, but it's not past tense. As of right now, there are still people in rural areas that have to do dial-up internet.
Really?
Yes.
Man.
And AOL has just announced that on September 30th, they are discontinuing their dial-up service.
Uh-oh.
So there are going to be thousands of people, and I say thousands, I mean just a couple of thousand, that are not going to be able to get online through AOL anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, there are some other companies that offer dial-up, but it's not sure how much longer those are going to exist as well.
But, I mean, those are the people way out in the boonies.
Well, like, you know, yeah. Like you have a farm with maybe 40 acres or whatever, but you're not way out in the boonies. You're just out past where it's economical to run that wiring everywhere.
But does, I mean, do their cell phones work? Because you can get internet through your cell phone.
Yeah, I don't think you can connect it to your computer very easily, maybe through Bluetooth or something.
I always hotspotted my phone to my computer.
You hotspot to your laptop.
Yes.
Yeah, but then their phone's got to have a good enough connection to actually do internet.
This conversation couldn't have happened 50 years ago. Yeah, hotspot to your laptop. What are you talking about?
Well, what's crazy is they say that 22% of Americans in rural areas still lack high-speed internet. Now, only 1.5% of Americans are using something like this dial-up, and not even then all of them are doing it. One thing that's saving them is Elon Musk's satellite version. Yeah. Starlink, I think it's called, or something link. Anyway, it gives them at least medium fast speeds in the hundreds of megabytes. So I think at least somewhere in that range. So they're not just crawling around on the internet like the dial-up speeds are.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, they may not be doing high-speed gaming, but they can still check their email with that dial-up.
Oh, I miss the AOL. You've got mail.
I know, right? You can get that and still make that noise if you want to.
I'm going to get it.
You should download it and put it. You could have it be on your phone.
Is it an app?
It's just a sound.
Okay.
So what you would do is set it up on your iPhone or your Android so that when you got a mail, it just said that.
You know, the truth is the first couple of times he's like, you've got mail. I'd be like, and we are silencing you.
Yeah. Exactly. Can you imagine living somewhere where you just didn't have fast internet? I mean, that's just a part of our daily life now. You couldn't doom scroll. You couldn't sit there and just brain rot.
What do you do when you're on the toilet?
You're waiting for it to download while you're downloading.
Read the shampoo bottle.
Right. But that is sad news for those people who are still needing it. I was as surprised to find out they still offered it as I was to find out they were discontinuing it.
Are you surprised when people say they have like an AOL, like email still?
No.
You're not?
Not at all. First of all, I still have mine. Why would you get rid of it? It's free.
Yes, I do.
You do?
And it's Hotmail, too. When you say Hotmail, I'm like, you still have how old are you?
Yeah.
Hotmail, are you hot still?
No. It's like that would seem like a shady site anyway.
Yes. Well, here's the numbers. They said as of 2015, AOL still had 1.5 million dial-up users.
Wow.
But by 2021, that number was in the low thousands. So by now, it is almost non-existent. There are not a lot of people left on dial-up.
Kids don't understand the struggle.
I know, right?
It's real.
You have to sit and wait, and that little guy goes into the next little cartoon.
Yeah, there's
and
like
then
the
it gets
three
disconnected.
Boxes.
Oh,
it looks like he's running. He looks like I'm running. He wasn't running. He was walking.
Oh, at a snail speed.
He was barely moving.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.